Okay, my name is Nicole Warren. Today's date is Wednesday, November 3rd, 8:14 a.m. I did no recordings yesterday, and I noticed that I wasn't... Yesterday was a pretty quiet day. Things were very quiet for my body, except for the fact that I did get burned yesterday evening at the top of my head in my kitchen. I was, and I decided to put on Alicia Keys' This Girl Is On Fire. So I have like songs that I'll play. Just, you know, trying to get through what Allegheny Health Network, West Bend Hospital, and Dr. Frederick B. Price did to my body during a hysterectomy on May 12, 2015, without my consent, by putting an illegal implant in my body that burns me, stabs me, chokes me, twists my ligaments, vibrates my body, rings my ears, shocks my fingers, and does all these things to me that I've learned to cope with first and then ignore. So my body has built up a resistance because I've had to have this thing in my body for 6 years. And I always think about the short story of someone coming to me or anyone with this technology in their body and them saying, you know, asking them the question, you know, or I should say, actually, I don't really even have to tell this story. I remember I watched this movie with my kids. I always like to use movies for some reason, because sometimes they are a great analogy or they help explain things. But I watched this movie with my kids. It was called The Airbender. And in the movie The Airbender, there were these slaves, and they were, you know, they dealt with the elements. The elements were, you know, water, fire, earth, and air, right? And so I believe these were the earth people. They were slaves. And this airbender came and basically, you know, was confused. You know, like, why are you living as a slave? You know, and he had to show them how the elements... Well, they knew the power that they had. They just didn't know how to use it. They didn't utilize it the right way. And he had to remind them exactly what Earth could do and how powerful Earth was, and show them what they already possessed. And you know, he had to awaken the element within them and give them another perspective, another idea as to what existed for them other than them being a slave. So, and I always, even with this technology, I'm like always at a crossroads with it, because I know how it's been used on me, what someone intended. But I also know that their perspective, their reality is limited, because they had other intentions for how they could use this technology. And it's unfortunate. And I've talked about those things, like B.F. Skinner's operant conditioning, the use of pain as punishment, the withdrawal of pain as reward, by inflicting pain on the human body and at the speed of light. Inflicting pain on the body at the speed of light, undetected, unseen. And the only thing that you would witness would be my reaction, and the assumption would be that I'm crazy, which is a trap for me. And then also using it as digi Jim Crow to try to turn black market your body, your skin on U.S. soil by using pain to maybe deter, intimidate, coerce you into whatever direction or mold. It's kind of like dampers. You know, NASA uses the word dampers, but they use it in a productive, constructive way to control the ripple effects of bridges. But someone thought that the black woman's body, the human body, was a bridge and not being a human being. Human trafficking. Human trafficking is not just sexual human. It's not just for sex. It's for anything. It's for labor. It's for sex. It's for caretaking. Anytime someone puts something in your body and uses it to intimidate you and to hurt you in a illegal, unconstitutional, secret way in order to get you to do or not do or go or not go anywhere or do anything or not say or say, any type of coercion or hitting physical enforcement on a human body in the USA for any reason, it could constitute as human trafficking. Because when they human traffic, not everyone that's human trafficked is a sex slave. Not everyone that human traffics is a maid. Not some are caretakers. Some are used to labor in sweatshops, like doing nails and hair and giving sexual favors. The bottom line is, if you have an implant in your body that you didn't authorize, that was put there without your consent, and is used to hurt you for any reason, that can constitute as human trafficking, the reinstitution of slavery. And if you end up hurting someone because someone hurt you with the implant, then that's terrorism. And the person that put it in your body, the person that has been accessing it to harm you, is also liable. Matter of fact, they're the terrorists. So, I mean, and if you have an implant in your body, and let's say they're using it to, like, a sex drug, you know, like, when you put a pill in someone, sneak a pill in someone's drink, and then they end up having sex because they were physically vulnerable from having a substance that is not part of their anatomy put into their body by way of someone putting something in their drink unknowingly, and it makes them sexually vulnerable. That's date rape. It would be the same thing as someone putting a device in your body during a surgery that rapes you, gives you unwanted orgasms, and does things to your genitals and your vaginal area against your will and without your consent. That's date rape. That's something that people might have a hard time understanding, but I still say it anyway, because I feel like anytime someone puts something in your body that can do all of these things against your will and without your consent for their benefit. So they're doing something to your body to enforce, to control, to inflict, to whatever, for their benefit, then that's human trafficking. It could also be terrorism. It could also be sex trafficking. It could be date rape. It could be a number of things. The bottom line is, you didn't consent and your body is being affected. So that's the slave part of this technology that is dangerous. However, I shouldn't have went so far into that. And I want to say, going back to the airbender, that's the mentality that the earth people had. They saw all the negative. They saw the oppression. They saw the infliction. They saw everything that was being presented to them by their oppressors. And they were unable to realize what they already possessed. So I was watching this. Let me start before I go into that. Let me go back to the person that says, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with this. It just causes pain. And then the other person says to them, well, maybe perhaps that's because that's how they've been using it on you. And I've always said, the way that you use something changes its context. So the way that something is used defines it, and it changes its context. And I also said in the beginning of this recording that I'm always at a crossroads with this technology. And the crossroads is education versus how the people that did this to me illegally intended to use it. So I think my survival with this technology in my body really is attributed to my faith as a Christian, and then also the education and the things that I learned about what Dr. Fred Price should not have done to me, something that's been very painful. And I think my recordings have always been to document what wasn't or shouldn't have been done to me, in hopes that, one, I don't know where this will go in history or whatever, but also to keep a daily account of documentation for myself, so that when the time comes, if the time comes where Allegheny Health Network is held accountable for what they've done to me and the pain and suffering and torture that's been caused to my body as a result of their science project, that they'll be held accountable and that I will have the documentation. You know, I had filed written complaints. I filed police complaints. I've gone to the doctors. I've done all those things. To say what that man did to me and the hospital did to me. But I'm always at a crossroads, even with what I'm about to say. I'm not even sure if I want to say it, but I always feel like my recordings always, to me, sometimes, I hate being a victim all the time. It's like, because I'm not always the victim. I don't always focus on my pain. And I learn a lot of things. And a lot of things I actually learn, I don't even say in my recordings, because that's not really the goal of my recordings. But then I sit back and I listen to some of my recordings, and I'm like, I always be wondering, should I be worried about letting others know what I know? Or should I be worried about documenting what's being done to me? And then I always say, has anything really changed for me? Even you documenting what's happening to you, and has anything changed for you? And I'm like, well, no. You know, like, I'm thinking to myself, no, it hasn't. So why not say, you know, the things that you know? Because the bottom line is, it's important not just to document the negative, but also the positive. It's important to not just have an account of your misery and suffering, but also have an account of your learning and the things that you learned. Especially because there's been things that I've learned in the past that's been stolen from me. And I put them in my recordings, and then like a year or two later, it pops up on the big on the big screen somewhere under some PhD doctor's name who I know got it from my recordings, and now they got all the credit. But then I'm like, do I care about that? Because I feel like that PhD doctor knows they got it from me. They know they got it from me, because there's no way you would know this unless you had this technology in your body. It's no way that you would come to the conclusions you came to unless you had this technology in your body, which leads me to what I've learned. So I was watching something on Curiosity Stream about this doctor who talks about the quantum physics theory, and it was a whole long segment on the quantum physics theory that I watched, and the most important part of it was that they doubted his theory. They doubted it. They said that it had some problems, some errors. They couldn't quite put their finger on it. And once again, he was right and they were wrong. And it was because of their perspective, and it was because of the knowledge, and it was because of the fact that they wouldn't be able to possibly fathom what he was saying, because they don't have any reference, any inkling, any idea of how to approach his theory. So I'm going to play this one little part of what this old man says. He's a doctor. And his what he said to me was the key to the other guy's quantum physics theory. And I'm just going to play it. Let me see if I can find it. Okay.
You're just natural creatures in a natural world. We're just a piece of the universe, a piece of physics, like everything else. And like everything else, we interact with the rest of the world. So things get a reality for us when they interact with us.
Okay, so you probably didn't hear that. And you're like, how is that important to the quantum physics theory? I'm going to tell you. These little words is the key to that guy's theory. But anyway, let me play it. It's real short.
You're just natural creatures in a natural world. We're just a piece of the universe, a piece of physics, like everything else. And like everything else, we interact with the rest of the world. So things get a reality for us when they interact with us.
Okay, so in short, the man says things get a reality for us when they interact with us. So, I mean, it was the shortest thing in this 2 hour long quantum physics theory segment where they talk about his theory. They show examples of his theory. And then they show to say why they doubted his theory. And I was like, the answer was with what that man said. And that's why you guys can't understand his theory. You don't get his theory. He said that that reality is reflected in what reacts with us. So, so I don't even know if I can articulate what that actually means, but it is the key to his theory. And his theory is a multi-universe theory. And basically, he believes that different realities coexist at the same time, which a lot of it, in short, from I always said when I was listening to what he was saying, I said, boy, it sounds like my 50-50. Because I always say that with this technology and my body and several of my recordings, I have over 2,000 recordings. I talk about what physically happens to my body versus what is happening in my environment. And I talk about perspective and how even though things will happen to me in certain areas, that I realize that people share in a different reality. And then one of the realities, simple realities, is what he said. He said your reality comes to fruition based on what reacts with us. So you're like, where are you going with this? I'm still not following you. So it goes even deeper. His quantum physics theory, I'm just talking about like the psychological aspect, but it's more technical than that. It's very technical. And I would have, and it has a lot of things. It's a combination of a lot of things that I don't even know if I can. I'm not even going to try to break it down in here because this is my recording. I would probably need to do like a whole class on it, but it's more technical than that. His quantum physics theory. It incorporates metadata. I always talk about metadata. I believe his quantum physics theory combined with what I'm about to say can help solve crimes. I believe that what that man said about, our reality happens with what reacts to us, but because I can break it down, but I don't feel like talking for 4 hours. So I'm not going to go that deep into it because it wouldn't take me 4 hours, but it might. But I literally the whole night was thinking about his quantum physics theory and thinking that the people were wrong for doubting him and not understanding. But I also felt like it's impossible for them to understand it because they're looking at it the wrong way.
So the next morning I woke up and I looked up electrostagmatic, not the theory, but to explain what the electrostagmatic framework is and what it represents. And what it represents is energy and light. And you're probably like, well, what does this have to do with the quantum physics theory and the guy's theory? And why do I know that he's correct? Because it's all in how you look at it. Our whole science for years has been based on sight. It's never been based on feeling and what's felt. And that's why all the science that is out there is now outdated and has to be relooked at and redone over. It has to be done from a whole nother perspective. We're entering a new arena of science and technology. And I'm not even a scientist. But with the electrostagmatic spectrum, that is the proper name for it, they talk about energy and light and the different forms of energy. They talk about the energy. It's several levels of energy. It's kind of like number one, light travels at the speed of light. And within the speed of light, there are multicolors, which is the spectrum. And in that multicolor of spectrum, there is energy that travels through the light as waves. And there's different kinds of waves, right? Humans only have the ability to see only a small segment of the energy that travels constantly around us every day. But Dr. Frederick V. Price's implant that he put in my body trying to make a slave is a different. He never imagined that he was trying to use energy to control. He did not ponder or even think of the fact that not only are you using it to control, but the body can store energy. And when the body stores energy, what happens is, I won't put it in this recording, but I have in my other recording. He never realized how powerful the human body is with storing energy. And so you're like, well, what does that have to do with the quantum physics theory? Well, the way I look at it is each wavelength is a language that can be used in different ways. How many ways? We still don't know. And it's not just to be seen, which is how we've lived our life forever up until 2015. But it's also to be felt, which is nowhere in any of our science books, nowhere. And that is why they cannot understand his quantum physics theory. It exists. And it's the question that was asked about the moon. Does the moon exist if I'm not looking at it? Well, does the electrostagmatic energy exist? Even though we can't see it, but some of us can feel it. It reacts with me every day. So I'm always at a crossroads with what he did to me. I feel like the earth people and then the airbender comes and says, why are you living like a slave. And then they point the finger and say, because look what they've done to us. Look how they've had us live. Look, we don't have this and we don't have that. And he says, the earthbender says, but you have the power of earth. Do you know what that power is? And I feel like that's the crossroads that I'm always at when I learn more about what Dr. Fred Price did. He fucked up. He knows he fucked up. And now y'all want y'all shit back. And I feel like I didn't get hurt as much yesterday because I literally feel like y'all heard me talking out loud in my room when I was watching the whole quantum physics thing. And then I feel like whoever is able to affect my body heard me listening to the electrostatic spectrum thing. And I feel like they're following everything that I'm doing anyway. They know what I know. They know what I realize. But then I also feel like when I do my recordings, I'm always talking about the victim part. I always feel like that's why they hurt me so much, because they want me to be the victim. I want to be the victim too, because I want Allegheny Health Network to cut me a check in the millions for burning me, stabbing me, choking me, raping me, and twisting my ligaments, because y'all were trying to use this for slavery. Y'all were trying to use this for terrorism. Y'all were trying to use this for human trafficking. So it's kind of like when like someone might say, you got to pick one. What are you going to be? You going to be a victor or a victim? I'm both. Because sometimes the way someone intends to use something on you doesn't mean that that's the way you have to respond or react to it. So it's kind of like, I have never forgotten how this all started. I have never forgotten all the things that have happened to me in public areas and the attacks. And I never have forgotten the you've put others at risk not knowing how I might respond, just to test your technology. And then the whole thing is, you always feel like you can shut down or deactivate, but you never even considered the fact of like the human body adapts and develops resistance. And I talk about things that, you know, to some might sound corny, but it's really not. Like, you know, I talk about the Yamabushi priests. They're real people. They can walk on fire because their body has adapted. But even in science segments, they talk about the phenomena of humanity, and they talk about evolution, and how, you know, I talk about how there's a group of people in some part of the world, they can hold their breath longer than anyone else in the world. They're people. They're like, I think they're Asians. I'm not really sure what they're, you know, I'm not exactly sure what Asians they are, but their whole genetics, they've studied them, and they live on water. They live on water boats, but they have the ability to, they do deep fishing. They have the ability there to hold their breath for a really long time. So what's the point of me saying that? Is that they've studied their bodies and realized that their lungs, the anatomy of their lungs is, I guess, can hold more air than any of the other humans on Earth. And this is facts. And then in this video on genetics, they talk about how they use DNA to, one, give facial structure. Everyone knows about that. Like, they use it in China and Japan. So that's not nothing new. Y'all all know about that. We all know about that. But they could pretty much take your DNA and figure out what you look like. But it's not just the DNA, and genetics is not just used for that. It's also used to find out from your DNA and from your strands certain things. And I'll use something simple like coffee. So they can take someone's DNA or strands and determine whether or not coffee will have certain effects on them versus other effects on others. So some people do well with coffee. And this is in the science video, and it's about DNA and genetics. And you're like, well, I don't understand. What does this have to do with the quantum physics theory? It has a lot to do with it, because what it says is that the human body has a different reaction to different elements that is presented with. So in your genetics and your DNA will determine how your body will react to certain external elements, one, considering the electrostatic spectrum. I'm what Dr. Fred Price did to me. I'm not sure who he's done this to. I'm not sure how many people they've done this to, but I'm telling you, it's a whole new world. It's a whole new perspective. It's a whole new everything. And the way that we've been looking at things has been the problem. We've been looking at it. So, and the way that the body reacts, adapts, and responds will be different in everybody, you know. So it's kind of like we don't even see the same. And that's Gestalt. and that's been proven over and over again, is that we all have eyes, but we all don't see the same thing. And our DNA and genetics have proven that our body makeup, we're not all the same. They say we're socially, we should be equal, right? But physically, we're not. So I could go further. Like I said, it would be 4 hours. But the people that he's talking to about his quantum physics theory, they're looking. That's why they don't understand.